chapter 16, Romans chapter 16. And I do have a handout for this. Romans chapter 16. Okay, we're in chapter 16 of Romans. And we're looking at these churches that Paul has addressed in his letter to Romans. And so we're going to be looking here through this section here look at a certain element of this, 6 through 10 primarily in this church. And so what we have here in Romans chapter 16, 6 through 10, we want to read the passage here. So let's read this through in unison. So in Romans chapter 16, 6 through 10. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us, Pseudodronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Athenaeus, my beloved in the Lord, and salute Urbane, my helper of Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved of Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. All right, we'll stop there. Our Father, we praise thee for the privilege to open the Word of God. We thank thee for the Scriptures. We pray for your blessing upon us as we understand New Testament Christianity, see the truth of all this, and be able to make the applications in our heart and lives. We thank thee for these servants of the Lord who served in the assemblies, and as we heard about servitude in the Sunday school, we pray that you'll help us to continue the thought here as we see these individuals of the past served in local churches. We commit all this to thee now, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're going through Romans, coming down here to the conclusion, we see how Paul had a desire to be there. He wanted to be there. We can review that back there in chapter 1 once again, Romans chapter 1. And that there he has a desire to make a request. He says in verse 10, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. So he wants to be see them, use his spiritual gift there, and so on. So he's addressing the churches now. Quite often we understand in the New Testament books, the addressee is found early in the book, but here in this book of Romans, or in this book Romans, the addressees are found at the end of the book. And so here is where we understand the audience here. So if you look there in 16:1, where you have the statement, I commend unto you. See the word you there? I commend unto you. Everybody's looking at the word you. You in Romans 16. All right, 16:1, I commend unto you. So that's the main church he's writing to. That main church he's writing to. He then tells in verse 3, greet Priscilla. That church is to greet them. All right, so there's the church that receives the letter then is to greet these other churches and obviously at some point send the book of Romans to them. So we'll have the original written to one church and five perfect copies written to five other churches. All right? So this is foundational to all of that. So in looking at the premise here, Paul had a love for the Baptists in Rome, although he had not known them personally as far as being there. He sent his greetings to the six assemblies, addressed the saints with emphasis on Christian women. So that's one of the things that we notice here. We have several points to bring out here. For instance, he's commending Phoebe. That's in 16:1. And then in 16:3, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. So notice he puts her first. She's got a church in her house. And then he mentions, for instance, our passage, verse 6, greet Mary. They're men in the assembly as well. And so here he also Greece other women there in verse 15. So there is a focus in all of this of these house churches, and I think Paul has a great respect for the assemblies meeting these houses, especially the woman of the house who tries to keep it all together. And so we have a perspective in all of that. So Paul knew of some of these individuals, but he hadn't been to Rome, so he hadn't been to Rome and been in their churches, seen them in their churches, but he knew of some of these individuals, and he's very thankful for them. So in Paul's journeys here through life, he came across many, many people, and won them to the Lord and ministered to them, and they helped him, and he helped them, and so on. And then later on, as he moves a lot around, and then they as well, these individuals moved up to Rome. And so we have different people in different churches that Paul knew along the trail here and so on. I found this interesting as I was in at Fairhaven in last week. There was a handful of people, 11 I believe, were in class. Several of them were older men who were church members, wanted to take the class for their own benefit, as well as several seminarians. So the one man who was going to drive me back to Chicago on last Saturday morning, on Friday night, he came and he was wearing a sweatshirt. And on the sweatshirt, it had the sweatshirt that had the decal of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So I see that and I say, have you ever been to Jackson Hole, Wyoming? Yeah, well, I've gone numerous times. And I said, what church you go to? And I go to the church where Pastor Winters is the church. All right, so I know about him. And I said, well, do you know a member of that church named Dean Erickson? Dean Erickson. Oh, yeah, he's the man who does pest control. Yeah. So who's Dean Erickson? Well, Dean Erickson was the executor of the Davison Fund. Harold Davison's fund, who lived in Wyoming, Cody, Wyoming. And so we began to talk to him about that. And he said, yeah, I know him. And I said, well, his connection with Brother Davidson is this. So I began to explain to that. So here, never met the man before, but he knew of Dean Erickson, and Harold Davidson, great friends. Dean Erickson been here several times at church. He's the one who at one time when he came, back about 2011, I believe it was, he's the one who talked to Brother Davidson, who was the member at the time, and said, you know, let's go over to Emmanuel Baptist Church and see how they're handling the money that I gave to be given to this seminary. And so they went over there, and Dean Erickson, in the conversation with the former pastor there, said, you know, this money really has been given for the seminary. The seminary's moved on, and you're really misusing this money unethically and so on and so forth. And but he said, what would you think if we split the money? So the pastor there, wanting the money, said, great deal. Let's split the money. And Brother Harold said, yeah, that's fine. Better to have some of it than nothing. And so anyway, we ended up with half of that. But that's how Dean Erickson fits into the benefit for this church through Harold Davidson. And this man knew Dean Erickson. So anyway, it's a small Christian world out there. You run into all types of people that have connections, so we're thankful for them. So anyway, Paul had connections here as well. He won people to Christ. They eventually moved up there to Rome and so on. And so we see this emphasis now. Also, I want to indicate in the chapter 16, let's look at the word in verse 16:1, where it says, a servant of the church, that word church, ecclesia, a servant of the church, which is Synchrea. Who started the Synchrea church? Paul did. Synchrea is not very far from Corinth. So Paul went there to Synchrea. He started a church there. Now here's a church member. Coming out of this, Phoebe coming out of this. And then we go on. Let's look at another verse here. And verse 4, it says, not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches. Yeah, all the churches. Here's the plural now. Church, churches. And then verse 5, likewise greet the church. Hear that word, church? We have church, churches, church. And then notice down there in verse 16, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. See that? Churches of Christ. So four times in the passage we have churches, church, and so on. Paul was a church man. He's writing to church people. The church is the assembly of baptized believers. Everywhere in the New Testament, with the exception of three or four references, we've got the word church or ecclesia. Always means a group of baptized believers. Always means that. A group of baptized believers. So a church is a group of baptized believers by immersion. So we'd say that these were Baptist churches. Baptist churches. So here we see Paul was a church man. He writes church doctrine to church people so that church people can benefit other church people. All right, so you have it. Church, church, church. These are not merely Bible studies. These are not just coffee shop talk-arounds. These are local churches, you follow that? Just like we have here. We've got an assembly of baptized believers. When we started a church, started in our house. We had a house church for 5 or 6 weeks, I guess it was. So did several others. We had a house church, so our house church met in our house. Right? We didn't have any stained glass windows. We didn't put up a steeple over our house. Have a cupola, but not a steeple. Anyway. All right, so we've got this down. He's writing to churches. This is what Christianity is all about. It's all about churches. And I'm glad that I've had the privilege to minister, I minister to pastors of local churches. I go to churches. I minister to pastors of local churches. All right. So you might say, well, you're being redundant and taking up time and so on. I'm doing that on purpose because a large majority of Christianity does not understand this. All right, so we've got that down. Now, let's notice also here, in and I covered some of this when I was in Ireland, of course, it came up as I was going through the book of Acts. So I taught in the book of Acts chapters 10 through 19, that second section of the book of Acts, use my commentary, but as I taught, trying to deal with some pastors who were in the class who had come up under fundamentalism and they didn't catch all of these teachings in the Bible clearly or were somewhat in the dark, and so I had to repeat some of these things. But for instance, if you look over there in Acts chapter 13, we have Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch, and at Antioch, a church. That's right, Antioch had a church where Paul and Barnabas were for a year ministering along with others. And so in Acts chapter 13, notice the Lord called through a local church. Verse 2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Lord speaks through probably a prophet in the local church telling them that he's calling Barnabas and Saul to a work. What is the work? If you read Acts 13 through about 19, the work was to plant churches. Plant churches. That's the work. And verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them out, sent them away. They sent them away. That's the assembly members. Notice verse 4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Oh, wait a minute. Who sent them out? Holy Ghost worked through the Lord's institution of the local church. You see that? Amen. Worked through the institution of the local church. The Holy Ghost works through his institution of the local church. And they sent them out. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent out by a local church to establish local churches. Later on, chapter 14, they come back and report on their work to the Antioch church of the churches that they planted. So here's biblical missions. Missionaries sent out by the local church. Now, quite often we think in terms of foreign missions. But I think as we look at Paul, as he went out, He went out within the Roman Empire. They all had the same language, same coinage, and so on. And so it'd be like a missionary being sent out here in America, going from state to state to state. That's really what he did. Follow that? So that's home missions. And to him, it'd be home missions, even though he went to different countries. He went throughout. Or be like going out as a missionary through the United Kingdom. Different countries, but they all have the same language, so on and so forth. You follow that? So, now who sent him out? Well, the local church sent him out. So I was talking with a good friend of ours the other day, and he concluded with, because several bad issues were going on with some of the missionaries he was dealing with in foreign lands, and he indicated, you know, I think I'm going to go with your mission plan that you have here at Bible Baptist Church. You train men within the church and you send them out and they start churches and homes. Amen. That's what we've done. Amen. That's biblical missions. I tried to bring some of this up to some of the fundamentalist trained missionaries, and they were challenged with the scripture here, and are having to rethink some of their positions on all of this. So with all that in mind here, we find out what is Paul doing? What is Paul doing? He's planted churches all along and won people to Christ. Some of these people move in different places, so on. Now he addresses them. Now, let's notice here in the outline. So we had the recommendation given back here in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. The recommendation was to receive Phoebe, who was a church member in Cenchrea that Paul knew, probably wanted to the Lord and started as he started the church there. And she had a business to do, so some reason she's showing up in Rome, but one of the reasons she showed up in Rome is because she's bringing the Roman letter to these churches. So I mentioned that last week. And so here Paul entrusts a woman, probably a businesswoman, who had business in Rome, to take the book of Romans, take the epistle of Romans. And so could he entrust her? So here we see a faithful saint, a faithful woman, who could be entrusted to travel over 600 miles across an ocean to get to Rome. Think of that. So if this church was given that assignment and I had to give that assignment to some woman, think of this. I'd have to pick a faithful woman. Do we have faithful women here? I believe we do. I believe we do. So, anyway, now, furthermore, not only his recommendation, but his remembrances. So he remembers some of the people in church, the first church that's mentioned here, really, the fifth, second church overall, but here in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that's in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And so he's sending his greetings and his remembrances of who they are and what they had done. And so, as we look here, he's writing to one church, and he has going through this Phoebe, who's a member of a church, to these other five other churches here. So he has remembrances about them. And so, we would see, for instance, this review, but important review. If you look there, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications for a pastor there. And so qualifications for a pastor there is to be a husband, one wife, have a family. Verse 4, one that rule well his own house. And then we notice here, in verse 15, it talks about how to behave thyself in the house of God. So that might be a literal house, a home of somebody. which is the pillar and ground of truth. Pillar and ground of the truth. And so last week I had a young man came up to me, 18 years old, taking the seminary class. Says, I feel the Lord wants me to pastor. You have any advice for me? Yeah. Get married and have children. Yay. Starting point. Okay. Also learn some doctrine. Wow, I mean, that just knocked him off his feet. What? So I guess I got to work on that, right? Okay, well. Anyway, this is, we have this background on that. And also, if you look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, here we have reference to Aquila and Priscilla in this kind of time, 1 Corinthians 16, 19. Paul says here, and the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So if you compare this, so Aquila and Priscilla were at Corinth. Paul came from Athens to Corinth. He started, he added to that church, and then he took Aquila and Priscilla to Ephesus. That's in Acts 18:18, and he started a church in Ephesus, and then eventually he went to different places. He came back. But here, the Aquila and Priscilla had been ministering as there in her church in their house at Corinth, and now they're ministering in the church that's in their house at Ephesus. At Ephesus. And so trying to put some verses together here. Let's look now in Acts chapter 19. So in Acts chapter 19, Paul comes back to Ephesus. Acts chapter 19. So the church has been meeting in the house of Aquila and Priscilla, as far as we know. Paul comes back. We're told there in verse 8, as his practice was when he came back to the church in Ephesus. He goes to the synagogue, verse 8, and he went into the synagogue, spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the king's things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers, diverse ones, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, the way being referring to the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So here he moves the church building, or the assembly, from meeting in Aquila and Priscilla's house, presumably to this school building. The principal's name is Tyrant. All right. But he's not under his sway. But anyway, and they continued this for 2 years, and from the Ephesian church that's now been moved to another place, they reach all of Asia, at least the eastern or western part of Asia. And so, but here we see the role of Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla. So they have a church in their house, and they're ministering to different people, and so on. So Paul has that remembrance there. Now, as we look forward here in verses 6 through 10, we have, first of all, the words greet and salute show up kind of interchangeably. They came from the same Greek word here, aspasomai, which means, in this way, in this case, it's a imperative. So it's a charge. In other words, he's saying there, I am charging you very strongly here to greet these individuals. Greet them. And that's what we say when somebody leaves and they're going to someplace where we know. We say, well, tell them hello. And that's what we're doing. I mean, we really tell them a command. Tell them hello. That's what he's saying. Salute or greet. So the words are used interchangeably in English, but the same Greek imperative there. So he wanted them greeted there. Now we have a listing of at least 8 saints in this assembly with their names. So he knew of their names and so on, and makes comments about them. And so we look first of all here at saint number 1. So he says, greet Mary. Now, just because he uses her name first doesn't mean she's the pastor or co-pastor. He's just saying, giving deference to her, all right? Giving deference. Just like he greeted Priscilla rather than Aquila. Aquila was the pastor. And I mentioned there in Acts chapter 18, Scripture says that Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos. So in what way was Priscilla teaching a man? She's probably helping her husband remember the doctrines as he's giving the teaching, and she said, don't forget this. And so he's helping him along, but she's not having one-on-one on the theology of soteriology, and Aquila's in the other room watching a football game or something. They're working together here. Yeah, Sunday afternoon, you know. Anyway, so so greet Mary. Now, the word Mary shows up 54 times in the New Testament, and really it comes from the Hebrew word for rebel, and Mary means rebellious, and it's one of six Marys in the New Testament. So now, if one of your names is Mary, don't overlive your name here. Be obedient, you know. But anyway, he mentions her there. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. So the word, her not only her identity, but her involvement, she bestowed much labor. So the word behind labor here has to do with hard work. Hard work. Kopia, hard work. So we see how Paul uses this, 1 Corinthians, for instance. He uses the work word here, 1 Corinthians 4:12, where he says, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, and so on. So here's the idea of laboring, working with one's own hands. Hard work. He was a tent maker. And by the way, in his tent making, he helped finance his missionary team. He helped finance himself and his missionary team. We're told that in Acts chapter 20. But notice the hard work involved here. And so serving the Lord can be hard work. It can get timely. It can be costly. It can mean hard work early in the morning, late at night. Serving the Lord can be very hard work. And so as we have opportunities to serve the Lord, we want to serve the Lord with hard work, realizing it may cost me something. It may cost me time and money to serve the Lord, but I'm willing to do it. And we have some hard workers in our church, and I appreciate those that are working hard. And I wouldn't name them, but many people in our church work hard to keep this ministry going in different realms, and their labors really, they're really basically and quite often the only ones who can do that labor, and yet they work hard. So we appreciate that. So she was a hard worker in the assembly. We look next at Saint number two. So here, Adronicus. Salute Adronicus. So here, Adronicus, his identity here, his name means man of victory. So the first part of that, Anir, basically the word, then Nikos there has to do with victory, man of victory. And Paul says, salute Adronicus, my kinsman. So that would mean he's at least a Jewish man, if not maybe one of his relatives. Maybe one of his relatives for that matter. So he might have been a Jewish relative. So Paul and his ministry, no doubt, he attempted to win his family to the Lord. Remember, he went back to Tarsus. He went back to Tarsus after he was converted, and he probably started a church in Tarsus, probably tried to evangelize his family, his father and mother, and so on. So we see involvement here. But nevertheless, we have more about Adronicus. So first of all, we have my kinsmen, referring to both of these, Junia the other, and my fellow prisoners. So these men, they were involved in being imprisoned from time to time. Now, Paul said that he was in prison often, so on, but we don't know all of his imprisonment imprisonments and so on. We know he's imprisoned at Caesarea, and then he was imprisoned once in Rome and the second time in Rome. So we know at least three specific Roman imprisonments Paul had, but apparently he had others. And so those who were lined up with Paul realized, we might be put in prison. Are we really interested in this? Well, we see their commitment to the truth. And so as we reflect on this, how committed am I to the truth? So we work on our commitment. And so we grow in our commitment. So certainly, first of all, growth in our commitment would be just being a faithful church member, faithfully showing up, being here, and supporting the ministry with tithes and offerings and prayers. This is the starting place. If you can't handle that, are you going to handle a $1,000 fine if you come to church and get caught here? All right, so we need to examine ourselves. How committed am I to the truth in my local church? My local church gives it out. And so we see that. Then let's look here at Genea. Now, Genea has a feminine ending on it. And so some think this is a woman. But because Paul used the plural, kinsmen and fellow prisoners, both of these are masculine nouns, presumably this man has a name which is feminine, whatever that means. So I know a missionary, and a missionary has a son, and he and his wife, early on, they named his son Amber. Now, Amber is a female name, but they liked the name Amber. They weren't probably familiar that it was a female name, so they named their son Amber. Now, there's nothing involved in that other than that they named him Amber. And so here is a man who's named Genea. He's a man named Genea. So in different cultures and so on, I think sometimes names relative to genders and so on don't matter that much. However, I'm glad I wasn't named Mary. So anyway, these are two men. Now notice as well, we're stated here, who are of note among the apostles. Note among the apostles. So they had some involvement here with the apostles. In fact, the Greek behind this says of note in the apostles. So some suggest maybe they were apostles. So the apostleship was growing. Now certainly apostle means a sent one. And so originally the Lord sent 12 sent ones or apostles who were Jews to the Jews only. 12 Jews to Jews only. Back to Matthew chapter 10. It seems then after that the apostleship expands a little bit here. We, for instance, we know there's a replacement in Acts chapter 1 for Judas. For Judas. And so the replacement turns out to be Matthias. That's in 1:26. So now we have the 12 minus Judas plus Matthias. And Matthias was a Jew as well. So now we've got 12 plus 1. And then notice there in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, just to talk about the apostleship for a minute. Matthias was the divine designation for the replacement of Judas, and that's clear where you see that in chapter 6 here, when the scripture says in verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude. Who were the 12? Judas was dead, so it was Matthias. Where was Paul? Paul was still Saul. He wasn't even around. Well, so Paul is not the 12th apostle. Very clear on that. Matthias was. All right. Then as the apostleship seemed to expand, we have, for instance, over in Acts chapter 14. Notice what Acts chapter 14 says in 14:14. It says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes. So apostles, plural, and now not only is Paul including the apostleship, but Barnabas. All right, but now look here. Whereas that we have the original 12 Jews sent to the Jews only, and now we have two Jews sent to Gentiles. So we see the apostleship is expanding here a little bit. Now, Apostle Paul was in the category of an official technical apostle, and Barnabas is brought into that category as well. You follow that? And then we have over here in 1 Thessalonians, another passage. So we're just making observations. What's happening here in the apostolate? But the apostolate has come to an end because none of these men, not one of them, is alive. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice in this, and verse 6, Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and in as the writers, he says there in 1:1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Now he says in verse 6, 2:6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles, plural, of Christ. Who are the apostles? Well, he mentions here Silas and Timotheus. So the apostleship, apostolate was growing here. And maybe now we have these men were in the apostolate as well. So there were qualifications, obviously, in all of this, but there were changes as well. So, nevertheless, they were of note among the apostles. So we're told that. And so we have, they were fellow prisoners. Let's notice as well, now we're going another theme here in Colossians chapter 4. With fellow prisoners. Colossians chapter 4 and 4:10. We have Aristarchus. 4:10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. All right, so Aristarchus was a prisoner of Paul. Now remember, Aristarchus was the one who made the final trip to Rome with Paul, along with Luke. And they were in the Euroclydon hurricane as well. So Aristarchus, nevertheless, was a fellow prisoner. And then again in Philemon, book of Philemon, small book right behind the small book of Titus, Philemon. Who was also in prison, that should be 1:10. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so here we have Paul won this man to the Lord in prison. So Paul had a prison ministry to be sure, but in his prison ministry, others who lined up with Paul ended up in prison as well. And so here we see the danger of the first century. Here's the Judeo-Christian faith going into pagan land. Whereas today, missionaries, they go around the world, and most countries around the world have a Judeo-Christian background and knowledge. But when Paul went into the pagan lands, they didn't have this. Very dangerous for him. But Christianity could be very dangerous for us as well. There are certain places in Africa where Christians are being murdered even at this very time. So anyway, we look at some of these individuals here. Saint number 4, Amplius. Amplius, the word means large, so maybe he had a large heart for the Lord. All right. So anyway, he says, my beloved, his involvement here in verse, let's see, verse 4, verse 8. Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. So beloved, he's beloved. The word beloved there, agapetos, is the word that the Lord uses for his son when the Lord Jesus was baptized. And we're called the beloved as well. So we're the beloved. And so we're co-heirs to the only begotten son. Co-heirs. We're beloved. Beloved of the Lord. And then the next one, Urbane. Urbane, he was a city person. No farmer here, city person. And anyway, our helper in Christ. So he was a helper. Notice the word helper there. Soon ergos, so a combined word here. Soon means with. Ergos means work. We get energy and things like that from the root word here. So he was a helper, a co-helper. In the local church. Co-helper in the local church. Then we have the next one, Stachys. His name means something like head of grain, anyway. But he was well-beloved as well. So Paul greets these individuals, church members. So here is a small church meeting in a house, probably Mary's house, and it has these solid saints within the assembly. See, that's the goal of every local church, and every local church pastor is making solid saints who will be helpers and servers, serving the Lord and being servants. Remember, doulos, servant, and helping and working along, working together. We all work together for the good. And this is where our rewards come in. Our rewards come in our service in the local church. Then we notice after him, Saint number 7, Apelles. So here we see that, verse 10, suit Apelles, approved in Christ. So Apelles, his name means something like called. We see we're all called. Did you know we're all called to the ministry? We're all called to the ministry of the local church. Now sometimes in that calling serve in the local church, it grows greater for some men who are qualified to become pastors. So all pastors are called, but all saints are called. Every saint in the local church has been called to salvation and service. So where will your calling of salvation lead you? See, where will it lead you? And so we have Apelles, one who's called. Then he goes on to say, well, let's look there, approved. So the idea of approving is 2 Corinthians and chapter 10:18. So here's this great passage that Paul talks about with approval. And 10:18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So whose commendation do we want? Well, man's commendation or Lord's commendation? And so that's what's important. But whom the Lord commendeth. So does he commend us for our faithful service in the local church? Is that our commendation? So then we go to other passages as well. Study show thyself approved unto God. Approved unto God. Or here's our docimus once again. How do we approve ourselves before the Lord in the Word of God, studying the Word of God? Then finally, Saint number 8, Aristobulus. His name means something like best counselor. Best counselor there. And so probably was another Barnabas, something like that. But anyway, his involvement. Now notice here in the verse, it says, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus. Wrong verse. Salute them which are of the Aristobulus' household. That's verse 10. So in this case, well, in both passages, household is in italics, so there's not a Greek word behind household. But there is a genitive type construction here, meaning something belonging to Aristobulus. So the King James wisely puts in household, just as the Geneva Bible did earlier, referring to they're meeting somewhere that belongs to Aristobulus. You follow that? And so, where were they meeting that belonged to Aristobulus? Presumably in his household. So we have the verse 3 starts this, and verse 5 starts this. We have a church here in a house. So we have this household idea of churches meeting in houses. So this is a legitimate translation. It shows up again in verse 11. And so, and then notice there in verse 14. Verse 14, we have another grouping here, but the tail end of verse 14 says, and the brethren which are with them. So here's a separate group, the brethren with them. So we have a total of 6 separate groups meeting in Rome. Follow that? So now, and not following the passage here and seeing the context of it, some commentators think these are just scattered Christians here and there, and they're not meeting anywhere, and so on. If you don't have the word church, then they can't be a church. No, they are churches. We move from what's known to unknown. And so the household of Aristobulus was an assembly where they were assembling. You follow that? This is contextually what the passage is telling us here. So these were house churches. So Paul greets these individuals of this one church. But notice the things that he can say about them. They were faithful. They were involved. They were co-laborers. Some of them were fellow prisoners. So what will my involvement be with this church here in the future if things really get bad? So am I willing to suffer for the Lord? See, this is so uncommon to American Christianity. We've had it made. We've had the finances. We've had the bigness. We've had the freedom and so on. But that may not always last. And it certainly is not the case in many places around the world. So how committed are we? Well, we will find out, won't we? When the pressure comes on, we'll find out how committed are we. But we start with just being faithful to the Lord in what we know and have as a responsibility. Our Father, we praise you, bless us now. Thank you for the time to open the Word of God and learn about your will for each one of us. We pray that you bless us and help us and make the application and be true to thee in times when needed, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.